Blog Talk Radio.
Makes me do right when I went too wrong.
Talk Radio.
How many of you know that we serve a big God? All power belongs to Him. Say this thing. He's unstoppable. Say. Y'all gotta sing. Say. He's unstoppable. Come on, say. Say. He's all powerful.
You know, it may have been suggested to you for some reason or another that you lack many important things in life, like education, that you should have been born privileged. You may have agreed with these suggestions that may have been a block to you, you feel. You may have trusted in those negative words given to you by society, media, or even family. However, I want to tell you this. You absolutely, definitely lack nothing. The greatest lie that's been told to many is the suggestion of lack. If you believe you lack these things because of what you don't have, then let me say to you, the only thing that you lack is unbelief in lack itself. Romans 12 and 3 says that we have been given the measure of faith, not simply a measure, but the measure. So whenever you feel without or the lack thereof, let me tell you this. The only thing worth having is faith. Look from this day forward at what faith is, and know you have no lack. Some people may feel that you lack because you don't have a certain type of car or no car at all, or you may live in a certain neighborhood, or you may not have that which is ultimately necessary in life. But let me tell you something. Anything that we lack is not natural. It's spiritual. Because everything you see, my dear friend, comes from what you can't see. From this day forward, believe in the faith that you were born with. The only thing that we lack is the unbelief in lack itself. Bless you.
How many of you know that we serve a big God? All power belongs to Him. Say this thing. He's unstoppable. Say it. Y'all gotta sing. Say it. He's unstoppable. Come on, say. Say. He's all powerful. He's unstoppable. Y'all gotta sing. Say. My God is a. Can we turn y'all, make it loud, make it big. My God is a big God.
Hello, God bless you. This is Roderick. Listen, tonight on Blog Talk Radio on Prophecy Alive, I'm going to be sharing with you concerning false humility. This false sense of humility has caused many to miss out on great opportunities available to them because of a generic religious humility. I want to show you something. This is good news to those who want the best in God. Tune in at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. The number to call, 347-539-5173. You press 1. I'll be glad to talk to you. Get ready tonight. God bless you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I'm so happy to be with you tonight and to serve you as we teach tonight what God has been putting in my spirit for some time. You know, I wait until I sense a move of God concerning certain subjects. And tonight, false humility. I'm going to talk to you about the dangers of false humility and the mistakes of, you know, you can get caught up in the mistake of false identity. Many people have been there. I've been there. And many have suffered in great ways concerning this. This affects your prayers. This affects everything about you. You know, some people are caught up in trying to be like someone else spiritually. You know how you can look up to someone else and then end up trying to imitate that person. I took it upon myself as a teenager, beginning preaching at the age of 14, and God has kept my mind. It's none of my goodness. It's none of my goodness, believe me. But I've always wanted to be myself. You understand? It's a bad taste in my mouth to try to be anyone else. And I think that when you really look at your walk with God and you really look at who you are and not who someone else is, then you'll find yourself without spiritual anxiety. You know, a lot of people are having so much pressure
in the church trying to keep up with the spiritual Joneses. You understand? So tonight, if you really know that you're tired of this spiritual circus, there are many people that have not bowed, as the scripture says, to false gods or false religion. You may know a friend that is like that. There are many people have people whom they love, but you can see that they're caught up in trying to imitate others instead of Christ. Tune in tonight. God bless you. 347-539-5173. You may want to call your friends. You may want to call your pastor if you want to, because there are a lot of leaders who are not humble enough to listen, but there are thousands who are. For every one person that rejects God's word, I've always been happy because God put something in me that says, you obey me, you obey God. You don't get caught up in who's listening, who's not listening, how many are listening, how many are not listening, who likes you on Facebook, who don't like you. If you get caught up in that stuff, I'm telling you, you develop a false sense of humility, a false sense of pride. I love you so much. God, if I didn't love you, I would just preach something that will itch your ears, teach something that will maybe get someone send a big offering. But I can't do that because I'm not in it for money. Do I hate money? No, I don't hate it, but I don't love it. I like it. Praise God. He never told us we couldn't like it. But when you love money, that's an evil vein there. When you love money, we love God. We love God. We love our family. I love my queen. I love my wife. I love my children, and so on and so on. You know, but when we love money, that's one of the most dangerous things to do, is love money. We love people with a heartbeat. Come on. We love people who can see, who can cry, who can, you understand. Praise God. I don't love, things. You understand? Because it gives you a false humility. Some people, if you take their car, take their home, take their job, they would, you know, like the 1930s, they would just almost kill themselves with depression because they love something that does not have feelings and does not have emotions. So we love God. We love God. We love what God made. You say, well, God made the trees. Well, we don't worship nature. We love it in the sense of we appreciate it. But there are people who love nature and they worship nature. You have to be careful. So this is why we're going to deal with false humility, false pride, false, you got people that have a false dance. They call it a shouting in most churches, but they have a false dance. I've been there where I just felt the Spirit of God and just danced. But when I looked at the dance, it was the dance that I saw coming up. Oh, it's going to be a sweet one tonight, I promise you. You know, you got a false dance and you dance like the dance that you danced, that you saw your loved ones dance. So we get caught up in a vein of religion, and then we are really not being ourselves. And then so many people don't know who they are because they are too busy loving leadership. Loving, you know, those who seem to be somebody higher than ourselves. So we got to have somebody to look up to. This is where false idolatry comes in. You know, it's so silly. I never will forget in Chicago, there was a statue. I mean, it might have been about 20 feet high, 20, 30 feet high. And people were putting flowers down and kissing the statues. Feet.
but you know, they were worshiping something that man made. You see, we can get so caught up in it. Even in the scriptures, they made a golden calf, and Aaron and the people they were there as Moses was in the presence of the Lord. They were worshiping a golden calf. So things can be worshipped. And when we get that false sense of who we want to be, who we really have a desire to be careful, because you can get a sense of falsehood. So we're going to be dealing with that tonight. Father, I give you praise for your people. These are your people, not mine. I don't have anything to do with it. I'm not Jesus Christ. I don't want to be. And the scripture says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm happy that he's in me. Aren't you happy he's in you? Father, tonight, these are your daughters and sons from around the world. We pray for them. They are so special. They're so beautiful. They are so great. And God, we want to just be a butler. We just want to feed them tonight in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, my good friend, our good friend, be with us. Heal, Lord. Heal that woman that has issues with her blood. I bind the high blood pressure. I bind it. We bind it. We bind it. Heal the blood. Heal the spirit. Heal the mind. Heal the mind and will. And we loose the health of God. We loose the I am on that body. In Jesus' name. And give you praise. Amen. Well, false humility. Have you ever been there? Have you ever thought you were humble? And not, you know, I know a spirit that used to check to see if anybody's humble. You tell them about a person, you tell her about a person, they say, are they humble? Well, nobody really knows. You know, Colossians 2 and 18, let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind. Do you ever meet people that they're so weird until every time you see them, they got a revelation, they got a word, they see something. They look up in the sky and they see an eye in the sky, or they'll see a shape of a person. You know, there's some weird people. It's not saying God can't show you a vision, but my God, I met a person, you know, me and my queen would go to a mall in the city of Chicago, and every time I saw this person, I said, how are you doing? Me and my queen would say, how are you doing? She would say, I'm in the Shekinah glory. Woo, woo. And I said, oh, my God. And every time we see her, one day, you know, I was in one of those moods, and then my wife would pinch me or something and say, be good today. Well, I was in one of those moods, you know. And we saw her. And I said, how are you doing? She said, oh, I'm in the Shekinah. I said, she kind of crazy. You know, so it takes balance. You know, a false balance is abomination. Yeah, a false balance is abomination. I was reading here. We're going to get into this. We're into it now. Did you know that? Philippians 2 and 3. You got your Bibles if you're sitting down, drinking your favorite soup, just chilling, got your feet caught up. And some people call me, they're in their cars. They, you know how you got to get to a quiet place, or they go to a quiet room. And so we're going to deal with this humility. And I pray there be repentance and insight on this revelation concerning humility. I'm going to go to Philippians chapter 2. and go there with me. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Listen to this. And let me read verse 1. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Listen to this, y'all. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You know, that's real ministry. When you say ministry to me, I think of family. I think of home. I think of whether it's a workplace, whether it's in business, whatever. When you say ministry, it's not boxed in four walls of a church. There are so many people that are ministry-minded when they go to church, and when they leave church, they leave ministry out, thinking that ministry is only for church. No, incorrect. Everywhere Jesus went, it was ministry. Everywhere you go, I go, there's ministry. So ministry is without limitation. Philippians 2, verse 2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same mind, being of one accord, of one mind. That's ministry. That's ministry. That's humility. Watch this. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. It's like a person singing. They're getting up in church and they're singing. They're only singing for applause. They're only singing to show their skill. There's nothing wrong with skill. But if you sing just for skill sake, being a minstrel and a musician myself, it turns me off, if I can use that word. Whether it's a drum player, organ player, singer, when there's flesh involved. Flesh is like you like chicken or something, a turkey, and you're eating it raw. That's what it is to me when people are preaching in the flesh. You know, it's raw, but it's not raw as in a strong truth. It's raw as in, you know, it's bloody. And the only blood that's worth being raw is when that man Jesus was on that tree dying for our atonement to make peace between God and us. So false humility will have a person thinking that they are righteous when they're stirring up hell. False humility will have you rejecting truth because it's not your truth, because it's only truth when you speak it. I remember someone said to me, they said to me some things, and I threw up my hands and said, Lord, forgive me, I repent. And I meant it. But when I spoke to them, pride jumped up. You understand? So false humility is wanting everybody to think you're humble. Let me tell you how to know that you're not humble, when you want others to think it. I love you so much. When you want everybody to see your humility, that's pride. I mean, get this in love. You know, someone could say it in judgment, but I'm not in judgment. I'm in love. And when the Holy Spirit reveals something to me, who am I to speak it in judgment unless he speaks that to me? It's his words that judge, not Roger. That's not my business. So when a person wants everybody to think they're full of humility, that's false. Humility doesn't have its own voice. It doesn't blow its own trumpet. So when you read Philippians 2 and 3, it's saying this, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Let nothing be done through rivalry. Let nothing be done through conceit. If it's full of rivalry, if it's full of conceit, it's not humility. Humility will look at someone else and esteem them higher than you. A false humility is praising someone when they're working for you. Listen, false humility is when you praise someone that's making you look good, as it were. False humility is when someone doing something to prosper you. False humility is when that same person tells you the truth, all of a sudden they become everything else but what you esteem them as while they're serving you. See, false humility will have you lifting someone up when they're serving you. False humility is in when you put that same person down when they speak the truth. Stay with me. I'll be right back. We're going to continue this. Stay with me. Well, we are back. False humility. Yes, it'll have you patting somebody on the back when they are doing something that you approve or doing something that enhances you, yours. False humility will have you, as King Saul did in the Old Testament, wanting David to do his work. He was afraid. His army was afraid. The little boy David went to him, refused his armor, and defeated the giant Goliath and cut his head off, dismantled that spirit of pride. See, he was for David. But when David, it was discovered that he had something on him, and the people sung the songs of his victory, then he was envious of him. You see that in leadership today, especially in local churches. As long as you're making that leader look good, they're for you. But oh, if the people like you. You see, some people, here's false humility. When someone else is displaying a gift of God and you're noticing how they are received for your own implications. Dear pastor, that's false humility. And when this person is rising, whether it's a woman or man, then when you feel like you're losing your grip and it's time for that person to go on out and obey God, then you stand up and you cause the congregation, those that are weak, to turn against this person because you no longer see them as an asset. I love you, ma'am, sir, but that's false humility. So we have to understand what this type of pride does. You know, this pride, being dressed up to look like it's dressed in grace, dressed in humility, this pride that will dress itself up like a politician, you know, and say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Of course, nowadays, the wolf is showing his face. We see that in the campaign. The wolf is saying, I am a wolf. Vote for me. So the false humility in 2016 will be exposed. Some of you may find yourself telling somebody, glory to God. And I see somebody right now in the spirit, your woman. God has been speaking to you to give a word to a person in leadership. You've been sitting on it. You've been waiting. And that's good to a point. And you've been waiting on the word, but it's time for you to obey God. Listen to God. Listen to him and ask him for wisdom how to do. God, I hear this word. You are released to obey the voice of the Lord. Well, praise God. So there's a difference between pride and humility. 2016, from high places to low places, those who are false and those who have false ambitions will be exposed. Even in government, those who have a plot to destroy the people of God, like Haman and Mordecai in the Old Testament. Haman was destroyed by his own destructive plots against the true people of God. God is flipping the script on wicked. Watch what I tell you. In Ephesians 2 and 8, let's go there. Let me go there here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Listen to this, y'all. Ephesians 2 and 8. Listen. For by grace are ye saved through faith. For by grace are ye saved through grace. Listen to this. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, understand this. If God told you to go into an old building and build that building and remodel that building, you can't boast in the fact that you did a work. Whatever we do was foreordained for us to do, even suffer. It was foreordained. Even for a season, suffer financially. It was ordained of God. Some people don't believe that. Well, skip Job in the Bible then. Skip everybody, you know, that went through trials. No, the Word of God says you're cast down but not destroyed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken. You know, we look at the persecution instead of looking at the fact that we are not forsaken. So there's a season for up and there's a season for down. And listen, if you're the person that experienced the seasons of down, you should rejoice. And I prophesy 2016 is the year, the beginning of the year of a switching of seasons in your life. You better hear this. And when that time comes for the birth of who Christ is in you, it's not about who you are in Christ. It's who Christ is in you. See, there's no hope in who Roderick is. But Christ in Roderick is hope. Christ in you, sister, brother, is hope. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You don't get no hope of glory in yourself. I love you so much. Yes, I do. But you get that hope in the glory of who Christ is, the anointing, Christos, who his purpose is in you. That's when you get the information. When it affirms who Christ is in you, that brings hope. So everything that happens to us, good, bad, ugly, past, present, and future, we glory not in tribulation. We glory not in works, but all the glory goes to God. Because first of all, we're born by grace. God offered us. God took the initiative. God offers, offering. We are God's offering. And we didn't deserve it, y'all. Y'all know that. And then we receive grace. Trusting God to do what? Clean us from the sin. But we can't be prideful in anything. We can't be. You done good. You fed somebody that was hungry. You clothed somebody that was naked. You can't brag on that. Any more can the raven. Could the raven who fed Prophet Elijah? Any more could the woman Zarephath who fed the prophet? You know, you can have a glorious failure. You know, Moses was, think about this, he was on the backside of the desert. Exodus, the third chapter. The backside. Now, you know, there had to be times when Moses was tempted to glory. And the things that he went through. I mean, this man saw the burning bush. He had to be a broken man, full of inadequacies. You know, he experienced part of his journey that many of us would have just ran from. You know, here he is called to speak with authority, to go to a dictator, Pharaoh, a man that could say, kill him, and it would be done, but for grace. You see, when you walk in humility and not pride and not this false humility, there's a greater grace on your life. If you take the road of pride, you'll reject God's word. You know, a person is a prophet as long as they don't speak to you. Look at Nathan went to David and spoke to David about how he murdered by putting, you know, putting the Uriah on the front line of the war. And Nathan went to David. What if that king would have rose up in pride? You know, there are people, they'll look at you as a prophet until you got something to say to them. Or they'll sit in the midst of you where you're speaking to others. But if you have something to say to them. You know, 1 Kings 13 talked about a young man, a young prophet. And there was an older prophet. This young prophet in 1 Kings 13, he was told to go, don't eat, don't go to nobody's house. But he disobeyed because he met a prophet, an old one. And the old prophet spoke and said, God wants you to come to my house. The young prophet disobeyed God. And while he was sitting at the table, he was told, didn't God tell you not to go to anyone's house, not to eat anyone's food? When you leave here, you're going to be stripped. You're going to be eaten up. Do you understand the danger of not listening to God's word? There are some people, as long as you say, amen, oh, preach, pastor, they love it. But the moment you say, you know, I must tell you this, oh, they will rise up and call you everything. You remember the pride of leadership. If you're in a position where you're called the pastor, the first thing you better do is get rid of pride. If you're in a position where you're called to be a prophet, an apostle, evangelist, any type of leadership, first thing you better do is get rid of pride. A wife, a husband, anything, you better get rid of pride. Because pride will always come. You want others to respect you. But can you respect others? There's so much, so many things out of whack concerning the local church. And this is why the enemy has moved in many places. Because if you don't respect God's order, then Satan's order is introduced. Yes. This is why the scripture says the meek shall inherit the earth. The meek. 40 years earlier, look at Moses. Look at him. He was educated. God called this man. Moses was no dummy. Moses was no dummy. God called this man to do a powerful work. It took that full 40 years for the realization and an unshakable conviction in his heart. It was worth the wait. It became the secret of Moses' strength, ridding Moses of arrogancy. You know, I began ministry at 14, and it took 40 years for God to rid me of pride. What about you? You see, meekness is not something you just grab like going to your favorite store and buying your favorite shoe, or going to your favorite grocery store and buying your favorite food. Meekness and all of those things, they are expensive. Sin is pride, so we all have it. Sin is arrogant, so we all have it. So it takes time. Doesn't say stop working, stop obeying God. Moses, Numbers 12, he was the meekest man on earth. Yet it took God 40 years to bring him to that place of meekness. Promise you that, and I'm talking about you that are in leadership, you that are in ministry. Only the meek will guide. Let's go to Psalm 25 and 9. I want you to see this. I love this. The book of Psalm, the division of Psalm 25. Look at this with me. Here it is. Psalm 25 and verse 9. Listen to this. The meek will guide, the meek will he guide in judgment. So when you're meek, God will guide you in judgment. Judgment is not a bad word. Listen to this. So in verse 9, Psalm 25, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. You know when someone is meek, they're teachable. And let's do this. Let me kill this little imp. Not you. I'm not talking to people. Let me kill this spiritual imp. When a person is meek, they are teachable. Are you ready? Now let me with a double, a two-edged sword, say this in love. There is absolutely no age, no age, to meekness. You see, all the paths, all the things of God are always through mercy and truth. God would always use mercy and truth when he's leading someone. A true leader, a true pastor, a true apostle, a true prophet, a true elder, a true deacon, carries the garment of meekness. Let's go to Isaiah 29. This is good, y'all. You're going to love this. Let's go to Isaiah 29. Here we are. Isaiah 29 and verse 19. Listen to this. Let me start at verse 18. Isaiah 29 and verse 18. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Notice this, verse 19. Read the whole chapter. I always tell people that, even if I just read a couple of verses. Look at verse 19 of Isaiah 29. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Verse 20, for the terrible one, 2016, listen to this. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. Matthew 5 and 5. Listen to this. Matthew 5:5. Listen to this. Here it is. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Humility. Not false humility. God's humility is joyous. And when a person carries the humility, their dependence is on the Lord. You may see a person that's suffering in a certain area. A religious, prideful so-called Christians will make fun of that person. These are the words of Christians who are full of pride and false humility. If they see a believer walking, they'll think something is wrong. They won't stop and pick the person up. They think something is wrong. If they don't have a new car, if they don't have a new house, if they're suffering, they will think, well, if God is with you, how come you aren't like me, like Job's friend, Eliphaz and Zophar, his friends. They began to mock him. They began to wonder, what's going on, Job? You used to be a rich man. Come on. Used to have it made. What's going on? You know, God said about Job, he lived in the land of Uz, and he was perfect. Not only rich, but perfect and upright. He feared God, hated evil. And he was a candidate for destruction. So he had his friends after he lost his son, lost his wife. They came, they wanted to know. They were like church folk. Because religion would teach you, you come to the Lord, everything is going to be peachy. Ooh, peachy. Stay away from pride. Stay away from pride. You know, that's false gods, false Christ. Many will come saying, I'm Christ, I'm humble, and deceive many. Stay away from that spirit of pride. That spirit of pride will torment. You know, Romans 7 talks about the 7th chapter. I was reading this today in verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am fleshly, having been sold under sin. For what I work out, I do not know. In other words, for what I do not will to do, I do. And even what I hate, I do. But if I do what I do, not willing, I agree with the law. You understand? You agree with the law. So the word of God tells you the law is spiritual, but I am fleshly. This is why grace is so powerful. Let me go to that. I want to tell you something. This is why grace is so powerful. Because to some people, they still believe that the law is it's the only thing that's spiritual. So they put people in bondage. They put people in bondage and then try to make you live up to the law. Listen, Moses brought the law. The scripture says it was a schoolmaster. Now Christ came. Shall we be brought back under the bondage of the law? This is not God's will. Because if you serve the law, you're saying that the law makes you righteous. The law can never make us righteous. Romans 7 and 8 says, but sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. So the law is a resurrection to sin. Look at verse 10 of Romans 7. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin takes occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, the law is holy. Watch this, y'all. And the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. In other words, thou shalt not steal became what it is. Thou shalt not steal. Nobody can say that people stop stealing because God says stop stealing. You know, I remember being young and mother saying and father saying, don't do this. It's like a resurrection. Don't mess with that cookie in that nice, cute little cookie jar. And all the while, that cookie jar became glorious to me. Ooh, Jesus. It looked like an ornament of a fine art. And just to open that top and those cookies, just the aroma was like a sweet smelling, I want to eat it. So the temptation came to get the cookie out of the cookie jar because I was told, I was given a law, don't mess with those cookies. You mean to tell me, after coming out of the oven, after smelling those cookies, those chocolate chip cookies, now I've got to have control, the fruit of the Spirit, and the mastery of self-control just enough to ignore my senses. Don't eat the cookie. So the commandments came to tell us don't eat the cookie. Flesh, which is not righteous, had a hard time with that. And this is why grace is such a powerful thing. Thank God for grace. Stay away from pride. Pride is the enemy of grace. Yes, pride is the birthing of self-righteous, a religious spirit, a tax collector, a publican, as the King James puts it. Note people in those days and in our day, they defend heresy. They defend unrighteousness. They defend racism, hating a person because they are a different color. All the false teachings of black is evil and white is good. I'm not speaking of people. Hold your opinions. I love you. But all of the falsehood, this world is in a condition because of pride and false humility. But there's good news. The good news is Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is not a hocus pocus, you know, jump up and run down the aisles and spit on folk. This is simply a resurrection of the conscience that God has put in us. Because the tomb where we lay is in our own opinions and our own pride. Come forth, he's saying. Come forth. Out of a stereotypical mindset. Come forth. Well, I love you so much. I thank God for you. Thank God for your spirit. And thank God for what he's done for you. I'll be right back. This is Prophecy Alive. I'm Roderick. 347-539-5173. Coming up to a close. I'll be right back.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Whose report would you believe? I believe the report of the Lord. Success is only a result of failure. Failure tells us that success is there. Because if you can fail and get back up, some would say, how can he come out and give us these great commandments and thou shalt not kill when he himself killed? You think about these meetings nowadays, people go off perception. Who's preaching this day? Oh, that's that person who did this or who did that. But I can only imagine. I'm not going over there. Saul killed Christians. Now he's sitting up there faking so he can do us in. Turned out to be one of the greatest apostles.
Praise the Lord. If you would like to invest in this ministry, go to www.facebook.com/prophecyalivebroadcast or www.facebook.com/TGM Project. There is a donation button, which is a secure link through PayPal. God bless you.
Just hold on to God. Don't you allow yourself to get involved and you know, things that you know are pulling you towards this false humility. Stay away from that. You know, that that false religious spirit that many people see as humble. Be very careful of those that push for you to believe that they are humble. Yeah, don't fall into that trap, because that's a wolf in sheep clothing. You know, there's something else that sounds so humble to the ear. You know, a person who is, you know, already a Christian or a professing Christian, you know, I'm so sinful. I'm just too sinful to pray. Don't believe that. People that try to, you know, I'm not worthy. I'm so unworthy. Well, if someone died for you, well, there's something about you that's worth dying for. That stuff sounds good. No, we're not worthy in the sense we are not worthy to be the atonement. You understand? You know, people with false tears. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself in thinking that people are humble because of anything outward. It's like baptism. It's an outward show of an inward confession. We must understand, when you really love the Lord, you have confidence. You know, Hebrews, the 10th chapter, I believe the 19th verse. Therefore, brothers, you know, have confidence of entering into the holies of holies by the blood. You know what a privilege that is? The holies of holies by the blood, it was consecrated for us. People could not approach the presence of God. They could not go beyond the veil. But God, through his grace, God will bless you with stuff you know that you didn't earn it. That's why we got to hold fast to the confession. Because we believe God. This is nothing that man can take and try to make us. We don't go or enter into the holies of holies by our works. So when people try to make everything by your works, you better be careful. It's only through the sacrifice of that one, Jesus. Yahushua. I love you so much. I just enjoy obeying God, and I know that the Spirit of God is raising you up, is raising a people up for such a time as this. But this is Prophecy Alive. Love you so much. God bless you.
And fill me with your glory. Your love and
warriors, Lord, who will fight on their knees, who will worship you with their whole hearts, Lord. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up.
Faith is the sense to have enough sense to sense him. Oh, bless this holy day. Look at verse 23. For verily, truly, I say unto you, that whosoever, everybody say whosoever, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. You know what doubt is? Insecurity.
Where are you calling from?
From Austria, that's a country next to Germany.
And you saw some numbers in the sky, am I correct?
Exactly, mm-hmm.
There were four numbers. Holy Spirit, my good friend, I want to say to you, yes, Father, the number four means complete. God is revealing to you a mystery. Your life is coming full circle. That which you have yearned for and prayed for is totally complete. And the answer is yes. God is doing something right now in the midst of that country. And it seems as though that you've been chosen by the divine hand and providence of God. He will use you mightily as a prophet in your region. So, Father, I give you praise. I give the Lord praise for you and your family. There's another girl. I don't know whether it's your sister.
Yes, it's my sister.
Your sister, is all well with her?
Not really.
She is going to have a very personal talk with you.
Galatians says faith works by love. Your faith can never rise above your love. You will never have great faith until you have great love. Faith works by love. Some of you don't have great faith because you're too stingy. You don't have enough love. I love you. See, you can't even say it back. I love you. You're getting good. Clap your hands and give God some praise.